Breaking news right here, man.
Breaking news. My girl's 5 months pregnant right now, wow. And we're having a boy.
Oh, congrats, man.
Yeah. That's so awesome. It's pretty exciting news, and this is the kind of stuff I live for, like which makes me kind of want to work harder and never satisfied with where I'm at in my career when I look at my kids and I need to do this today.
Now, broadcasting live from the Podcast Palace on Park Street in beautiful and dangerous Clearwater, Florida, it's the Comedians on Cork podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Tony God and Pat Largo.
Hey guys, and welcome to season 2 of Comedians Uncorked podcast. My name is Pat Largo. We got Tony God there, our co-host. Tony, how are you, my man?
I'm good, man. Good.
This is a great day. We have a lot of people to thank because it's a gloomy, rainy day here in Clearwater, Florida, in the Podcast Palace. But we're going to be getting some California sunshining here very shortly with our special guest, Jack Asadorian. We want to thank all of our listeners on YouTube, Spotify, all the great platforms, and getting us at social media, at Comedians Uncorked Podcast. And also a huge thank, as always, to Julie Drolshagen of Century 21 right here in Florida. She's sponsoring the studio here. You can get a hold of her at 727-902-9233, FloridaBeachBusiness.com.
FloridaBeachBusiness.com.
That is her, Julie Drolshagen. So thank you so much for getting us the studio and all the airtime. And without further ado, I was lucky to have this gentleman on. Kind of, Tony, and you wouldn't even hear when I was doing this. A couple of years ago, when I was doing my Comedians Uncorked Uncut interviews, because we all had so much downtime for COVID, I just started doing some stuff and asking comics, hey, you want to come on? We'll talk. We'll shoot the breeze about comedy. And Jack was gracious enough a couple of years ago to come on and give me about 30 minutes of his time. So now, thank you, Jack Asadorian, for being on our Comedians Uncorked podcast.
Thank you for having me, man. It was a lot of fun. Honestly, thank you for spending 30 minutes with me and getting away from my kids.
I remember, he was taking his kid to the beach. Now, Tony, I don't know if you saw it, but I had some words with Jack before we got on the air here because he's showcasing his Los Angeles Rams hat, and he had a few words about, hey, you upset that we took out your Bucks? And yes, man. I am upset.
you ruined it, man. You guys sent him into retirement.
I know, isn't that great?
The Rams sent the GOAT to retirement.
That's hilarious. That's
The great gunslinger known as Tom Brady has now hung up his pistols, apparently, allegedly.
Well, for now.
But I must tell you, that was a hell of a game because I was on the road and I missed the first quarter and a half. And then when I heard the score, I go, oh, this isn't good. And then my girlfriend says, oh, no, they're going to make a comeback. And I said, I don't think so. And then we scored one touchdown to make it look pretty. But then I got home for the fourth quarter, and that was one of the most happy for you guys because it was a great game.
It was a great game.
What an exciting game, though, man. And you guys deserved it, man. We couldn't stop you at the end, so it was just amazing. So,
in all realness, I wore this just because you guys were from Tampa. I'm not even a hardcore Rams fan. I'm a gambler. Like, I have money on the Bengals to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, here you go. There
oh, cool. Go. They're just busting balls, man. Just busting balls.
Yeah, I'm busting your balls.
Yeah.
That's it. We don't put too much emotion into it, man. That's lethal.
especially down here.
Yeah. That was great, though, man. That was like it was just good to have the Buccaneers playing at that level for the past couple of years, man. It was like, man, we've been through the rough days with that team.
I mean, they were doing pretty good even before Tom Brady, you know? They were pretty good.
Yeah, they were already – they were at that level.
You guys are going to get Aaron Rodgers, dude. Watch.
That's what I was thinking, too. I was thinking – but you know what? Hey, that just means we got another shot, man. I'll take it.
Florida loves its old people.
We'll take them. We'll take them.
We're gonna get John Elway.
if you're good and you're close to retirement, come on down.
Come on down.
We got some.
I got to kick it off like I did a couple years ago, Jack, and say first off, where all the craziness going on? Because I'm not going to say post COVID because the bullshit's still going on. how's everything going out there where you are in California? How's the family doing? How is it affecting your life? But how are you getting around it with COVID going?
Everything is going good. I mean, it kind of slowed down a little bit during the holidays because everyone started getting sick again and everyone was getting scared. Numbers started rising, which we don't know if it's real or not anymore or whatever. We don't know what to believe. All we know is that it does affect shows. It does affect work. It affected the Ha for a little bit. It slowed us down a little bit. But overall, my parents are good. My family's good. My kids are good. I'm good. And I'm having a baby on the way. I have a baby on the way.
Oh, wow.
What?
Nice. So that's some great news.
Yeah. Breaking news right here, man.
Breaking news.
Whoa.
My girl's 5 months pregnant right now, and we're having a boy.
Oh, congrats, man.
Yeah. That's so awesome. It's pretty exciting news, and this is the kind of stuff I live for, which makes me kind of want to work harder and never satisfied where I'm at in my career. When I look at my kids and I look at I need to do this today. I got to go out there and get this. I got to book a commercial. It's just a constant grind. And now that she's pregnant right now, I have that push again. You know, I kind of lost it a little bit because of COVID. Yeah. It really freaking slowed me down. Yeah. But now I have that fire, the eye of the tiger. It's back, you know?
It's that hunger. Yeah. Once you get that hunger, man, that's what drives you.
I just got to add, well, first, again, congratulations about the baby coming along. Is this going to be, would that be Jack the Third?
No, we don't have a name yet. Honestly, what I really want to name him, this is not a joke. I want to name him Batman. Think about it. Your kid's at school, a little kid goes, what's your name? He goes, I'm Batman.
That's it, man.
Great name.
We don't have a name yet. We don't have a name yet. But it would be Jack the Third. But it's
yeah. Not. Okay.
Yeah. I don't want my kids to go through with my jackass Adorian. No.
so you got the word, listeners. Leave a comment in the box. Name suggestions are being accepted.
Yeah,
Batman's already on the table. Batman's on the table. So
Batman's on the table.
Yeah. Leave it and then we'll pass on the comments to you, man.
That'll be great. I would love for some ideas. I have no ideas. Definitely not Pat. Not Pat. Don't like that.
Pat.
Why would
you... Pat Largo.
If I had a book, because I'm a junior, if I had a boy, it would be Patrick the Third. And I was like, yeah, I don't know if I like that one either.
Yeah, I don't like it, huh?
I mean, Patrick is, it's a cool, but it's not that, it's all right. I'd do something. I'd probably name him Jack.
I don't like Jack, yeah.
Yeah, I just name, or Tony. That sounds like, that's a good
Tony's good.
You have to have a Tony in your group. There's always a Tony. Hey,
Tony's good neutral. Tony. It's a good neutral name, you know.
It is.
It's an earth tone.
Tony? Yeah.
What's that?
Is Antonio?
It's Anthony. Anthony, yeah.
Anthony. Yeah. There you go. Italian?
No, Puerto Rican.
No way.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. Variations, right? It's like variations.
And my middle name is Anthony. I'm half Italian, half Lithuanian. What are you, Jack?
I'm Lebanese, Armenian, Mexican.
Wow.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's a lot of turmoil.
That is.
It's crazy. My house is messed up.
That's funny. And what is your girlfriend, if I can ask? What's her nationality?
She's Filipino-Portuguese.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my
goodness. Baby's going to be like the United Nations.
That's it. That's his initials, UN.
UN.
Dude, I like this. So, dude, you had a crazy start, man, with your background that we were talking about a couple of years ago, and you were just, mentioning it before, though, I mean, about being named Jack, and your parents have a great sense of humor, obviously. Before we get into you touring and headlining and doing all your great stuff now, though, you come from, a comedy background because your parents own a club in Hollywood,
my
right?
My family owns the Ha Ha Comedy Club in North Hollywood, California.
Wow.
Okay. So you grew up
in family business. Yeah, yeah. I grew up in this lifestyle, and it's a tough one. But I'm not Corey Haim or Corey Feldman. You know, I'm still here.
So, yeah.
So
now, when did you actually get interested in performing? Because I mean, was it from the beginning, or did it kind of happen over time for you?
I never wanted to be a stand-up comedian ever. That wasn't in the cards for me. You don't want to do what your parents do. Your parents are truck driver. You don't want to be a truck driver. You don't, you know, like, I didn't want to do that. At a very young age, I've always been very independent, and I moved out of the house when I was 18, 19 years old. And I just worked my butt off. I got a job at T-Mobile, was selling cell phones in a mall, was commission based, really well off. And then I started DJing. I had no intention to be at the club at all. I didn't want to be there. And then I basically invested all this money I saved up. I opened up a kiosk in the mall selling cell phones and screen protectors and accessories. I was very Armenian. I was very cell phone store, you know? So I opened up a store and did well. I got married, had a kid. When I got married, had a kid, that's when everything fell apart. We got divorced. My first marriage, we got divorced. She took my son away from me. I had to go to therapy. I was very depressed. I was like suicidal almost.
Oh, wow.
And I told my parents, I go, I need therapy. I think I'm going to kill myself. I lost it all. I lost my relationship, my son. And then my father told me, he goes, you know how expensive therapy is? He goes, go do open mic. I started doing open mics and I became a comedian. And I just started talking about my problems and it caught on. And then I started getting more and more. I got the comedy bug and I just kept going on stage over and over and over and over till I started touring with Jeff Garcia. Like I was 3 years in, I was touring with Jeff Garcia.
Yeah.
I learned the business. I learned about hosting, featuring, and the whole thing. Then I started featuring. I started opening up for like the Wayans brothers. I opened up for like David Spade, Craig Robinson.
Wow.
All these big names. And it just became something like that started paying the bills. And I'm like, well, I can make a career out of this. And then I got an agent. And then it just kind of like it exploded a little. And then I competed for NBC and NBC Stand Up for Diversity. I made the semifinals.
I've seen that before. Okay.
I made it to the semifinals and I was really looking around like, wow, I'm really doing this. And then I took it very seriously. And now I've been doing this for the past 12 years now. And I'm very blessed. I'm on the road 6 months out of the year. I just signed a contract with Carnival Cruises.
Awesome.
I do Carnival.
Awesome.
I do a lot of stuff. I've been very blessed. Thank God.
Wow.
So for you, has it been pretty organic, would you say, your journey so far?
Yeah, it's been pretty. It's been totally. It's literally. I just kind of like, I had the tools and I had the pieces, and I just put it together. You know.
I think now you can tell though. First off, number one, it just goes to show you what marriage can do to you, right? Now I'm not anti-marriage, but that's just, you know. You said you were on top of the world until, but I think it's funny, and you can tell how funny your dad is because you went to your parents and you said, hey, listen, I'm not well. I think I might even be suicidal. And your dad's like, you know how much therapy costs? Go tell jokes. I know you just told me you might kill yourself, but go tell jokes. You'll feel better.
Go tell jokes. He didn't even take me seriously.
You know what? He might have known the value of it though.
Yeah, he goes, my son over here is trying to kill himself. I'm trying to figure out how to live longer.
Nice.
Dude, that's awesome.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
And that kind of answered one of my questions about, I know you've been blowing up and doing stuff all over the place and cruise lines now, which is fantastic. But some of the guys you work with, any ones that along the way, especially ones when you were breaking into the business, and we're always about naming names if you feel comfortable. But anyone that were kind of dickheads or anyone that were kind of like, man, that person, that girl or guy was really an asshole.
There was a lot of assholes out there when I first started. And I'll say it to his face. A lot of the Latin comics or some of the black comics weren't really nice to me. Like, who was Jeff Garcia became a dick to me after a while. Once I started getting good, he started being mean to me. Mm. And, I don't know if it was the hate or what it was or tough love or whatever. A comic named Bruce Jingles. I don't know if you know him. He's not very big, but he cornered me one time. I was just like 2 years in. He was drunk and he put his finger in my face. He goes, you know what? You're not a comedian. You're not a comedian. You're an owner's son. Know your role. Like that kind of shit.
Oh, jeez.
Like so many, like this is like just dumb bullying, you know. Like, and it's cool because I made it. But you know what's funny right now? Now those comments, like Bruce, he asked me for spots.
Oh wow!
Yeah, yeah.
karma.
So it's all full circle. Like you always have to be nice to everybody. Dude. Like a lot of people have such big egos and are assholes. And I feel like in this business, it's such a small world that you're going to run into them again, you know? So be nice to everybody.
Yeah. That's great advice right there. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no reason to be, people feel threatened for no reason, really, you know?
Yeah. And I'm like a new comic back then. I was like 2 years in, you know, I could barely hold a microphone. I barely had anything to say. I was just super like, probably I could have been pushed away and not to do comedy, you know? I could have easily been bullied and be like, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore, you know? So, but honestly, what my dad would always tell me is like, take what's good, leave what's bad, you know? So that's it. Move forward, keep your head up, and that's it.
Man, now that's cool. Now, and real quick, how long have your parents, and now they still own the club?
Yeah, we still own the club. We opened it in 1987. It started off as a Mexican restaurant.
Wow.
And then became a Mexican restaurant with karaoke bar and the live shows and then comedy. And then it became, like in the early 90s, it became like full-on blown comedy. You know what's crazy too? I don't know if you guys seen the show on Amazon, Fat Tuesdays. Did you guys see that yet?
No.
Fat Tuesdays. No. Guy Tori started an urban comedy night at the comedy store called Fat Tuesdays.
His documentary.
Yeah. And it really took off in the 90s, right? That's the same time the HaHa started putting up. We had our show called Whacked on Wednesdays with Buddy and Kim Whitley. That was their first show, first big comedy show. And they mentioned it on the show on Amazon. Kim Whitley put on Whacked Out Wednesdays.
Whacked Out Wednesdays.
That's when the Ha really took off. And then we've been doing comedy there since then. Now it's 2022. We're open 7 days a week. We do like multiple shows. We Chris D'Elia just posted a post recently because he's a lot of people think I started at the Comedy Store. I started at the Ha Ha. Damon Wayans Jr. started at the Ha Ha. A lot of these big comics, famous comics that you think that started at the Improv or the Comedy Store, didn't start there, you know, because you're not going to get your stage time there. We at the Ha have like the most open mics, and we develop these young comics, you know? You don't go to the Improv and Comedy Store as a bad comedian.
Right. No, you don't want to go there.
Up there every day. The Ha gives a place for comics to get up every single day. You can go do open mic every day. And we've been really doing that. We've been doing that for the past 30 years, you know?
And was that a recent post by D'Elia? Because is he trying to get his head right again? Because I know he's been in a little bit of pseudo trouble with some chicks or whatever recently.
Yeah, it's on a podcast, I believe.
Okay.
But a lot of comics go out there, like Ken Jeong, Brian Callen, the Wayne brothers. Uh-huh. Craig Robinson's been going a lot. Jeff Ross, Angela Johnson came by for our grand reopening back
using
outdoor comedy shows.
Cool.
I've been blessed to know these people, and they have my back. They're in my corner. You know, I love all those comics that show us love because we're just a mom and pop shop. We're not a big corporation like the Improv or the Comedy Store or the Laugh Factory, and we're still in LA. We're one of the best clubs in Los Angeles, and we're blessed to be there still, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well, yeah, and big shout out to HaHa. That's going to be, 35 years coming up this year?
Yeah.
Nice, man. So, and maybe even, I don't know, Tony, I don't want to be presumptuous, but maybe if we ever get out west, maybe a little Comedians Uncorked podcast show and some stand-up at the HaHa.
Yeah, we got to do that for sure. I'm down.
Yeah, that's cool to have a spot like that where people can actually start out and be nurtured. So, I mean,
my dad always says that about that. He goes, it doesn't have to be the HaHa, but pick a club where you can get up every day and work out, you know, build your set. You don't want to go to these clubs, the Comedy Store or like the Laugh Factory, when you're green and you suck. Because first impressions are everything. You're going to suck. And they go, hey, that's that one guy that sucked the other day. They're not going to give you that second chance, you know?
Yeah, comedy has a very long memory.
Yeah.
So a lot of new comics don't understand that. It's like, don't get seen too early. You know, take your time, you know?
Yeah.
So that's one of those things. But I mean, so like you started at the HaHa then? That was like your first time up?
That's the hilarious thing. I actually didn't because okay. I was afraid to perform in front of my parents.
Oh, yeah. Wow, man. Okay, okay.
That was such a filthy comic because I was like doing drugs. I was hooking up with strippers and at nightclubs. I was going through a divorce.
Oh, you know? Wow.
So I was going through a divorce. I was man. Mr. Like, yeah. I was throwing Montana, man.
This party.
I was gonna say, he makes divorce sound great.
I know, man. It sounds fantastic. Everybody, come on, man.
Jesus.
Yeah, so
I can't wait to get married and divorced.
Yeah. So then I would do shows at bar, I would do bar shows, or I would go to San Diego. I did my very first show was in San Diego called Moondoggy. It's not there anymore. Oh, it was run by Justin Knapp. And I would do a lot of Mexican bar shows, a lot of black rooms. And that's why I think I got really good. When I would do the black rooms, they'll tell you right away if you suck.
Yep.
Yeah.
They make you feel like shit, you know?
Yeah.
But then once I got like a 5-minute set, I would go to the hot open mic and I would work it out there. I just wouldn't perform when my parents were there because I was very shy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then overall, I got my reps in there and yeah.
Now, do you have guys that were kind of looking out for you? You know, you saw guys that went on to be pretty huge. Were some of these guys like in the back of the room kind of coaching you, like listening to your set, giving you tips?
Yeah, totally, totally. My first open mic at the HaHa, I used to bartend at the HaHa open mic. And Damon Wayans Jr. was there and Vincent O'Shaughnessy were there. And I would write jokes on pieces of paper and I would give it to them. I go, here, try this. And they go, this is funny. You try it. I go, no, you try it. So one day I was bartending and the host of the open mic goes, your next comic, Jack Jr. And the whole audience kept clapping till I got on stage and forced me to get up there. And I went up there and they would just help me. They would help me, like, they would teach me the punch setup. I always had the jokes. I just didn't have the delivery, you know? Because I'm a very funny person off stage. I'm very natural. So I needed to figure out the timing and the delivery. And then I learned how to change speeds and reading the audience. And just it became like a whole, like I took it seriously like school. Like I would go watch comics. I would watch different comics, how they would switch gears or how they would read the audience or how they would ride the wave or how they would do crowd work, what questions to ask, what not to ask. And it became a school to me and I was obsessed. Yeah. And I was like, I'm never going to be that guy. I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to make my own version of that. And I learned real quick. And to this day, I help comics now. Let them know, when you get off stage, what are you trying to say? Do people know who you are? Mm-hmm. Like, are you just being very hacky talking about general shit? Or am I getting off stage and, oh my God, that guy was divorced. He has kids. He wants to be here. Like, you know, like there has to be something you're trying to say. It has to be a story. Yeah. If not, you're just up there telling fucking dick jokes.
Yeah. Yeah. You have something to say. It's relevant, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great, man. It's good that you're passing it down. You know, that's the whole thing, you know, it's like reach back, help the next person out, you know, teach the next generation. That's pretty cool.
And I see all over social media, Jack, because you said you've only been in the game for 12 years, which is long, but not that long. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean,
it's not long at all.
So, but you've been, you know, a headline the all over the place now. Talk about that. When did you kind of first start getting into the full-time headlining? And I see you a lot in Vegas now and all kinds of places. Yeah. What's that been like?
So what happened was I used to work. I used to sell cell phones or I would bartend or I would find odd jobs and I really didn't want to do it. I could never, once I got a taste of the road as a host, like, oh, I can get paid $500 to host for the thing. And then I could sell t-shirts. I could make another 500. I made $1,000 in a weekend. That's like, dude, this is great. I told myself, I have to headline. I need to write jokes. So I kept writing. And then I need to build fans now. So I would create mailing lists for every city I would go to as a host. I would get off stage. If you guys like me, come meet me in the corner. I want to get your information so I can invite you to another show. And I started doing this like 7-8 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I slowly created a mailing list in every city I went to. whether it was five people to 50, and that 50 became 100, 100 became 200. Now I have a huge mailing list all over the U.S. By doing this method. Unfortunately, it doesn't translate to social media because I'm not very good with social media. I mean, I have maybe 11,000 followers on Instagram and like 10 on Facebook, whatever. But the whole thing is, I'm not good at that stuff. I'm still learning how to do that. You know, I'm more of a, I'm old school. I got phone numbers. I got emails.
Yeah.
And that, I slowly
that's old
started
school
building,
right there.
Yeah. The I started building this mailing list, and then I started calling the improv, and I would email them as I had a manager, but it was me. I would make a fake email. My client would like to headline your club on one of your off nights.
Yeah.
And they would give me like a Tuesday, and then I would go in there and I would put 150 people on a Tuesday. And then they started paying attention to me. I would do Ontario, Irvine, Brea, Oxnard. And slowly they started like knowing who I was. They checked my background. My parents owned a comedy club. I know the business side very well. I know how much money they need to make for them to be happy. So I know how many, I need to put at least 100 people there. That way they can cover staff, this, that, that. I just learned, I knew both sides. And I was funny. So I'm putting ass in the seats. I'm funny. I'm selling t-shirts. I'm slowly building it. And I just started doing that across the board. Everywhere I went. Like even to this day, like tonight, I have a show tonight in Pasadena. I sold it out. $37 tickets.
Wow.
$37 a ticket.
Man.
I sold it out on a Tuesday. It's not even at a comedy club. It's at a restaurant.
What kind of food are they serving?
It's an Arabian night show. So it's an all Middle Eastern food.
Wow. Man.
I paid.
Yeah.
So note to self. Note to self. Have Jack promote your shows.
Yeah. Luca, there's freaking beautiful women. It's a whole experience. And it's just like I put so much effort in everything I do because I hate being that guy at the show and it's like there's no one there and then you feel like you're a piece of shit, you know?
Yeah.
That's
good. And now do you still, I know you said you're a little social media, you're not into it. And that, believe me, I wouldn't be on it at all if it wasn't for we having to do with our jobs here. But what, you still do that though? Like the mailing list?
Yeah, I have a mailing list. And I have a mailing list all over the U.S.
Wow, nice.
I'm slowly trying to build my, like I've done funny Instagram videos like with King Batch who has like freaking 20 million followers. But it doesn't like translate. I don't know why they don't follow me back. Like I'll do videos with these big celebrities, with this, with that. I'll be in some good stuff.
While we're talking about it, let people know where they can find you on social media now.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm terrible at it.
And we'll put
it's
links
at
as
Jack
well.
Junior Comic at Jack Junior Comic at JACKJRCOMIC.
And that's across all the social medias.
Yes, all social medias, everything. Even my Venmo. What's up?
There you go.
But yeah, it isn't for some reason it's so hard to like to be that comedian. I mean, which is the business now. Like people like TikTokers. Like there's some TikTokers, comedian TikTokers, that Google one-liner jokes, post it on TikTok, and it's going viral.
That's crazy. And
right.
Like they go like, hey, is your dad an astronaut? Because your ass is out of this world. And it goes viral. And it's fucking dog shit, you know? Which I get angry at because like, there's actually comedians like us that write jokes.
Yeah, you sit down and actually write things that you know are true.
Watch this garbage. It just doesn't make any sense.
Dude, I hate to be, I know I'm 51. I don't want to be the get off my lawn guy, but you don't understand what social media and what YouTube, you have to weed yourself through the bullshit to find good, and you can find good people, but stuff like that, that just makes me so irate. When I just can't get over stuff like that. I hate it.
I'll be like on my phone trying to like look for like a good clip like of Mark Norman or Joe Rogan post something, and I just have ass, tits, and corny jokes. That's it.
Dude, exactly. Well, okay. Jack Asadorian, we're going to be wrapping up here shortly, my friend, but we do a little segment called Where Are They At? We like to talk about where the comedians are going to be at, not just in Florida, but all around the country. So, Jack, can you let some people know, where are you going to be at coming up in the next couple of weeks?
I'm going to be in Arizona. I'm going to be on the Carnival cruise ship for, like, I've been Bahamas for a couple of weeks.
Nice.
Everything, I'm going to be in Las Vegas, Arizona. I'm going to be in Tampa at Snappers. I'm going to be in Missouri. I'm going to be in Minnesota. I'm going to be in Texas. I'm going to be Houston. I'm all over. I'm all over. I'm going hard on the road this year because my baby's coming. So I'm going to be all over. I think I have 20 weekends coming up. Oh, so wow. You can get that all on my website at jackjrcomic.com. Cool. I want to be everywhere, and I want you guys to come. If you guys mention this podcast, I will give you a promo code. You just got to DM me on Instagram.
Cool.
Perfect. Wow. I like it. Awesome. Real quick, when your baby comes into this world, Jack, I'm going to get him an 813 champion shirt.
And by the way,
a little baby one. Yes, Tony.
And just to let the people know, if you're watching on YouTube, you already know. But if you're just listening, hey, listen, he hasn't taken that fucking Rams hat off yet. He's still wearing it.
There you go. I love it. Oh man, we're gonna. That's funny. Well, listen,
the ultimate troll right there.
Well, we'll get you one of these in a little baby onesie for your boy. We're gonna call him UN, United Nations.
The UN, I like
there
it.
You go.
So, listen, man, Jack. Seriously, man, thanks for hanging out with us. When your boy's born, when you got your new CD coming out, or whatever you got coming on in your life, we want you to come back on the podcast sometime down the road. We'd love to get 3,000 miles out west to maybe perform at the HaHa and do a show out there and enjoy some of the wonderful LA and Hollywood comedians sometime. So I hope we can make that happen as well, man.
Pat, maybe you could host for my shows.
There you go. Yeah, he's a great host.
Don't you tease me. I will do that, my friend. I would be more than happy to go anywhere you are and host.
I'm gonna put a group text right now with the owner, Nabil, and I'll tell him that you're my host.
All right.
He's got the perfect voice, right?
Man. Honestly, why not? I don't know anyone out there. I'd rather hang out with you than some freaking local. I don't know.
Thank you. Host or open, man. I'm glad you said Snappers. You're going to love the sushi, by the way. They have a great menu. So I love it. Well, one more time, folks, Jack Asadorian, get him at jackjr.com. He mentioned all the places he's going to be, and it's going to be so much
Jack
fun.
JackJrComic.com.
My bad. JackJrComic.com. I hope the Rams and Bengals have a great Super Bowl this weekend. And folks, that's right. Folks, for Tony God right there on the bottom square, my name is Pat Largo, and thank you so much for checking out the Comedians Uncorked podcast. Again, catch all of our stuff on YouTube, all the different elements, like where they add question of the week on YouTube.
And catch Jack on social media.
Yes, get him on social media. Get that discount code like he mentioned. And don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe on our YouTube. Thanks to everyone on Spotify, Google Podcast, Stitcher, all the great platforms. And that's so much. So great, a great thing, man. Thank you guys so much for listening and supporting. Again, for Tony God, my name is Pat Largo, and we'll see you next time on the Comedians Uncorked podcast.
Yeah.
Like what you saw, we got that and more on our YouTube channel, Comedians Uncorked, and please hit that subscribe button.